This week I read a story of a man who had finished his shopping and he was returning to his car, and when he got there, he found in his car four men sitting there waiting and ready to take off in his car. So he dropped his shopping bags. He had a holster underneath his jacket with a handgun in it, and he pulled it out, and in a very forceful voice he said to them, "I have a gun and I know how to use it. Get out of the car." Well, those men did not wait for a second invitation. They got out and ran like crazy. The car owner, understandably shaken, quickly loaded the shopping bags in and got into the car. He just wanted to get out of there as fast as he could. But no matter how he tried, he could not get the key to turn in the ignition of the car. And then it hit him. Some of you have already guessed. This isn't my car. He looked, and indeed his car was parked about four or five spaces away. He got out quickly. He turned and he looked around to see if those men were still near. He loaded the bags into his own car and he drove straightway to the police station to turn himself in. The desk sergeant, after hearing the story, nearly fell off his chair laughing. He pointed to the other end of the counter where there sat four men reporting a carjacking by a man with glasses and white short curly hair, about 5'10", carrying a very large handgun. No charges were filed. He thought it was his car, but it really belonged to someone else. The truth is, God owns everything. God owns that man's car and the one that he mistakenly got into. God owns everything we call ours. God owns it all. How do we respond to that information? God owns it all. M.J. Ryan writes in Attitudes of Gratitude, "One of the incredible truths about gratitude is that it is impossible to feel both positive emotion of thankfulness and negative emotion at the same time. Gratitude births only positive feelings of love and compassion and joy and hope." And as we get older, we get schooled in our mistakes, and we learn to focus not on what is right, rather on what is lacking in ourselves and in others. What is missing? What is inadequate in ourselves and in others? What is painful? That's why gratitude is so powerful. It helps us return to our more natural state of joyfulness, where we notice what is right, what is positive, and it helps us to be humble. Gratitude helps us to be generous with ourselves and with others. Gratitude reminds us to turn towards and not away from the light of God. The story of Exodus is virtually unimaginable without Moses in it. Although he met much skepticism and suspicion and cynicism by the people who follow him early on, over time the community grows to understand and appreciate Moses' leadership more and more. As the story goes, Moses works tirelessly right up until the very end of his life. A close reading of Moses' story offers a picture of three distinctive parts of his life. Moses was able, with God's help and God's guidance, to reinvent himself two times over. At various times in life, it can be very helpful to undergo a course correction and do something else. Moses did this out of necessity early on in his life, and again later under influence of the divine call from God into service. Moses never retired, according to the story. He lived into the way in which God called him throughout his entire adult life and well into old age. I mean, who lives to be 120 years old and still walking up mountains looking where God is leading the people? To me, a person of our own time who exemplifies this way of life is former President Jimmy Carter. First, he was a submariner, then a peanut farmer, then a governor, and then a president. And then after the election in 1980, when he lost so miserably, he reinvented himself again, committing his life to humanitarian endeavors around the world, especially in the area of human rights. And he continues to do this work even into his 90s. Today, even as we focus on stewardship of our finances, we do well to pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit for the stewardship of our time and our gifts. Those of us who are young, those of us who are older, and those of us who are somewhere in between, God still calls God's people. God calls each one of us to be a witness to the goodness of God. As people of faith, we too, all of us, are called just like Moses was called. So one of my questions is this: how are you living into God's call upon your life? Are you allowing God to reinvent your life as you grow in your knowledge and understanding of God and who you are in God's presence in the world today? Before the end of Moses' life, God takes Moses up for a panoramic view, not of where Moses has been, not of everything he has accomplished in his life. God isn't interested in where Moses has been and what Moses has accomplished any more than God is interested in where you have been and what you have accomplished. God shows Moses where the people of God are going. God shows Moses the promise of a future for God's people. He also showed Moses where Moses is not going. And Moses loved enough to let go of all of that. He loved enough to release his life once again into God's purposes. On a personal level, this sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? I mean, if you do something great, you want to be remembered for it. However, from the perspective of the community that had followed Moses' leadership and Moses' vision, and for those who were coming along after him, the change in leadership does not mean that the mission of the people is any less urgent than on the day they hurriedly left Egypt 40 years earlier. It does mean that some of the ways in which leadership and community will be done together will change. And that was likely challenging. Just as any leadership change is challenging, just as any kind of change is challenging. And what do the people do? They grieve for 30 days for their loss of their leader. And then what is it time to do? It's time to move on. They too love enough to let go and move forward towards the future that God has for them. The story doesn't linger over achievements of Moses and any glory days that they might have had. His significance is duly noted, and his death is recorded in the story. But the focus was never supposed to be on the leader, nor on what the people thought they had accomplished. It is God who leads the people, who is also the focal point of the community's life inside and outside the biblical text. It is God who leads the people today. It is God who is the focal point today. And today, when we speak of the promised land, we know it isn't a place where you move your family necessarily. It is a metaphor for a better situation than what we have right now. In difficult and trying times like ours, when many people are giving up, throwing in the towel, or cowering in fear of the future, let's remember this man, Moses. Moses, who left a legacy of faithfulness in the midst of unfaithfulness, uncertainty, and life-cleaving change. When some say, we're going in the wrong direction, or we're not going in any direction, or this dream will never become a reality, will you be like Moses and say, God promises that it can be done? Will you remember the joy for which God created you and live your life with gratitude, sharing your time, your talent, your presence, your prayers, your witness, and your gifts? When Moses was at retirement age, he might have hung up his shepherd's crook, exaggerating the limitations of health or fed up with criticism from the people. He might have just given in and given up. Instead, he models for us all that maturity, experience, and commitments are traits still needed in a world infatuated with getting its own way. Maturity, experience, and commitment are traits still needed in a world so afraid to commit to something with an unknown and uncertain outcome. So skeptical of faith without data. God called Moses, even in Moses' old age, and God is still calling, regardless of age. The tragedy is only those with attentive ears are the ones who will hear. Moses was open, receptive, and respectful. He was willing to do in his life what God was calling him to do. Doing what God is calling us to do is most often more than what it is convenient to do, especially if we're going to do it well. Of all the graces we can cultivate, perhaps spiritual receptivity is among the most rewarding. And so we ask, is God still calling in our day? Is God calling even me, even you, even us? How many are turned off and tuned out and cannot hear God's call? One of the reasons we worship is so that we can come together to hear God calling us. We discern together through our worship and prayer the priorities and movement of God that are always larger and wider than our individual experience and our individual preferences. And we need each other to worship together, to pray together, to lift up our voices together, to open our hearts and our ears and our lives together. And then we will discern together who God is calling us to be as a faithing community of God. God calls Moses, and God gives him a specific task to perform. I dare to believe that God has a specific task for you and for me. It may seem to casual observers that God chooses just a few among the many, and actually the reverse is true. Some of you may be asking just now, how can I know that God is calling me? First, ask God what God would have you do, who God would have you be. How will God have you be a witness? God will lead us where we are willing to follow. In order that we should know assuredly what God would have us do, it's necessary in prayerful meditation and with as much honest objectivity as possible to recognize the abundant gifts with which God has blessed us. Whatever gifts you may have, realize God didn't give them to you accidentally or indiscriminately. God has a vital interest in your native abilities, and God grieves when you misuse or abuse talents and treasures. God calls and challenges, saying, come, I have a task to be done for which you are especially equipped. I need your abilities, your unique qualities that you alone possess. God may be choosing you as God chose Moses for a special task to lead God's people in God's ways. Be attentive to God's call, and it will be revealed to you who God is calling you to be and how God is calling you to be. There is no denying that we live in times of great danger and crisis in some parts of the world, even more than other parts of the world. And there is no denying these are also times of great possibility. I believe this, because I believe God is here among us, calling us to be the possibility the world needs us to be. God is still in need of modern day Moseses who will accept today's challenges and boldly accept God's possibilities and proclaim those possibilities into a world that is oftentimes more broken than ready to hear. I pray your response will be, Lord, do this in my life. Make me like Moses, a blessing in my own time. Committing our lives and our financial resources to God's use through the ministries of East Cobb United Methodist Church, we remember this truth. God does own everything, even that which we call our own. God owns it all, even our very lives. In 1997, Fred Rogers received an Emmy for Lifetime Achievement in Television. He stopped briefly in his acceptance speech to thank those kind of in broad categories who had brought him to that moment. And then he looked out at the audience and he said to them, take 10 seconds to reflect on those who helped you, cared about you, and wanted what is best for you in your life. Those people who got you where you are today. And he concluded by saying, whomever you've been thinking about, how pleased they must be to know the difference you feel they have made. Today, we remember Moses and the difference he made in the lives of many, even in our own lives. Today, I remember Martin Luther on this 500th anniversary of the Reformation. 500 years we've been protesting. We remember those who brought us into faith. Let's take 10 seconds and remember those who have cared for you and helped you and nurtured you along the way. I'll count the seconds. Close your eyes if you want to, and let's think about those for whom we are grateful. How have you been taught to be faithful? How will you be remembered? How will you respond to God's invitation to live your life for Jesus?